These songs are amazing reminders that God is faithful. And I think we can all say that when things are going smooth in our life. But there's a lot of stuff happening in lives of people in our congregation, from cancers to accidents to just hard things. And pretty much, sometimes I get to the point where, as a pastor, what do you say to people when them or their loved ones and stuff are going through stuff like that? And in reality, there's probably not a whole lot I can say, just to remind us that God is faithful. You've heard that a lot of times this morning, in the good stuff, the bad, when you don't move the mountains, I want you to move. Just great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Our faith kind of comes to a screeching halt sometimes when we can't make answers to questions that are huge, huge questions. That doesn't threaten God. He is still faithful. He is still faithful. And this morning's sermon, I'm just going to remind you of that. This is just a reminder of what we have. I think it's really good of what we have in Christ. So I'm just going to remind you of some of those things. And I think we all need reminded in this world that's kind of becoming worse and worse and worse. And you look at the political situation, you look at the thinking of the world these days, and what is going on? I have no idea what's going on. It's amazing to me, but God is faithful, and His way has already won. Almost said His way will win in the end. It's already won. God is faithful. Can I prove that? No. But I have faith. And we're called to have faith in God and what He says. If you want to have faith in something else, be my guest to have faith in something else. But I tell you, I totally believe God because of His written word, His proven word, just the truth of God's word. So I'm going to remind you of some of them things this morning. One of the things, the first things I need to remind you of before we move on today is what it literally means to be a believer in Jesus Christ or to be saved, okay? Just the simple thing, and I know a lot of you guys know this, and I'm just going to remind you, because if we don't have the foundation of Jesus Christ in our life, the Holy Spirit in our life, then everything else I'm going to say is going to sound nice, but it's not going to make a difference in your life. And when you face huge problems in your life, it's just going to collapse. So I just need to make salvation clear before I go on with this. And the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of God's glory. In other words, we've all sinned. God's standard is holiness. Why? Because He's nasty? No, because He's God. He is just due all the glory. He is just perfect. And so He created man like Him in His image. He created man perfect, but all of sin, man chose to go against God. And so that's why when you're born, you have a sin nature. And you're born separated from God already because it got into our spiritual DNA that we are separated from God. All have sinned. Nobody's good enough to get to heaven. Not one person. And God, because of that, we are separated from God on this earth and in all of eternity. When we die in a state of separation from God, we will spend eternity in the lake of fire, in hell. And hell will be put into the lake of fire. And anyone whose name is not found recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life will be cast into the lake of fire. And God did not want that to happen. So God provided a way for all men to escape that. For all men to, even though they're sinners, to be counted perfect enough to stand in the presence of a perfectly holy God. All have sinned, come short of God's glory. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. God loved us so much, He did not want to see us there, for God so loved the world that He gave His Son Himself. That He gave Himself to, when He died on the cross, to exchange my sin for His holiness. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever, anybody, God is not willing that any should perish, that whoever believes in Him will not perish when your physical life is done, will not spend eternity in hell, in the lake of fire, will not perish, but will have everlasting life. That's with God in all of eternity, when you're born into God's family. Very simple verse. We were separated from God. God loved us so much that He exchanged places with us. He said, let me die in your place. And He offered that to every single person. And then the Bible says, having heard that gospel in Romans 10, 9, 10, having heard that truth, having believed, when you say believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Not just that, yeah, that's a name out there. But when you have faith, when you know God, when you say, God, I believe that you died for me, you believe in your heart, that's every part of you just says, I believe. By faith. I believe that God died for me. You, by faith, accept God's holiness. And the Bible says, then you are marked in Him with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. Having believed, you are marked in Him with a seal. God says, okay, to seal that bargain so it can't be undone, I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit. I'm going to come, and I'm going to take up residence in your life. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. And that is huge. That's what we want to talk about today. But if you don't know Christ as your Savior, if you've never said, God, I believe, I'm sorry for my sins. I'm sorry that my sin sent you to the cross. I believe that you died for me, that you were buried and you rose again. If you've never done that, if you've never believed in God in your heart, thou shalt not be saved. And the rest of this sermon isn't going to mean a whole lot to you, except you're going to wish you had it. So it's a really good day to examine whether I know Christ or whether I don't know Christ. Okay? But to those of you that know Christ, that have said, God, I believe that you died for me. And listen, I want to tell you, there's no other way. There's no other name given among men whereby you must be saved, except through Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter how good you are, God doesn't weigh out in heaven. God doesn't say, oh, you're really bad, or oh, you're really good, and that determines your future. God says, we're all really bad. Even the best things we do are really bad, but you take Jesus Christ's holiness, boom! It's as if He never even sees your bad. God only sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ when He stands before God. So I don't care where you've been, what you've done. I mean, I really honestly don't care where you've been, what you've done. When you accept God's holiness, you are holy. Period. You don't, all that garbage in our life doesn't flow into that. You're just holy. We still have a sinful nature because we've been trained to be that way. But so if you don't know Christ as your Savior, it's very, very important for your eternity, not mine, for your eternity, that you make that decision sometime soon. Can I prove it? I can show you the entire scriptures. You can read it. Can I prove it? By faith in Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith. We don't deserve it, but it's faith in Jesus Christ. And if you want to believe something else, like a lot of the rest of our world, you're welcome to believe that, but it's not going to work well for you. Okay? And that's as loving as I can be with that. You need to understand this. We're studying 1 Peter. Actually, we're finished Peter's life, but the verses we started last week, I need to clarify for the next week or two because it's so important. So we're going to look at 1 Peter 1, 1 to 2. 1 Peter 1, 1 to 2 is pretty cool. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. He's speaking to believers. So if you're here and you don't believe in Jesus Christ, if you have not accepted Christ as your Savior, this is not speaking to you. You can hear it and you can listen, but this is not the promises to you. This is the promises to those that believe that Jesus Christ died for them, that have accepted that gift of God. They're marked and sealed because of the Holy Spirit in you. So he's to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. He says, grace and peace be yours in abundance. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Grace is you're going to need grace because you're not perfect and neither am I. But peace is really what I want to concentrate on a little bit. Peace is yours. You can have peace in the midst of the storm. You can have peace in the midst of a struggle. You can have peace in your physical lives. You can have peace with your family in your heart. And it might not be peaceful, but in your heart. You can have peace in the midst of this. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. And I loved Roxanne's quote, through the knowledge of Jesus Christ, through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. That knowledge is found in the Word of God. Excellent, excellent quote. It's going to be found through the knowledge of Christ, and we'll get to that. Okay, so here we are. 2 Peter. Okay, 2 Peter 1, 3 to 4. That's the verse that kind of sets us up. Now let's get into it. His divine power, I know we did this verse last week, but I'm going to go into it deeper. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. And through these, He has given us His very great and precious promise, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption this world caused by evil desires. That is so much in that verse. All right, I was going to just use that verse to introduce where we're going, but I can't, okay? So we're going to spend the rest of the day on that verse, and even so, I'm going to fly through it. There is incredible stuff in there, and you're saying, oh yeah, that's really incredible. I just think it's so cool studying these. I just feel like I get to know God a little bit better through studying. Thank you for coming so I can get to know God, so I'm forced to get to know God better. I appreciate that. So we need to break this down. So we're going to break it down in a couple phrases. We're going to start with His divine power, okay? His divine power. The Bible says that God is a powerful God, okay? Not like a God. He is powerful. He's powerful in a bunch of different ways. So we're going to look at this. His divine power. Luke 15:17. I'm going to go through some quick verses here. One day Jesus was teaching, and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with Jesus to do what? Heal the sick, all right? I don't have to tell you guys that are sick that you know God has the power to do it. But He has power to heal sick, all right? He's not a medicine man. He's just in charge of sicknesses and health and life and everything else. He has the power to do that. So people see, and we see it through the miracles of Jesus all the time that are recorded all over the place, that Jesus has the power. Doesn't mean He always uses it for what we want and what we would rather see and what our husbands would rather see and our wives would rather see. But He has the power to do it. Okay? That was demonstrated. He has the power over sickness. All right? Mark 5:30. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out from Him. That's just an illustration of it. You know, that was with the woman that had the issue of bleeding and stuff, and they were in a crowd shoulder to shoulder, and she touched Him, believing she could, and all of a sudden He felt the power go out of Him. All right? It's just Jesus has the power. What else does He have the power? He has the power over sickness. Romans 1:3-4. Regarding His Son, who as to this earthly life was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was appointed the Son of God in power by His resurrection from the dead, Jesus has power over death. We've seen Him cause other people to come back to life, and not only that, He raised Himself from the dead. He said He was going to, and then He did. He has the power over death and life. That's a lot of power. You know, fantasy shows, you know, have people that can raise people from the dead if they're not cold yet, you know, or if it hasn't been too long. That's a lot of power. That's someone that'd be nice to have around, all right? Jesus has power, period, over death. Death is subject to Him and His power. Death has no sting over believers in Christ that have what we talked about in the beginning. But He has resurrection power. He has power over death. Matthew 24:30. Then will appear the sign. This is a quote from Revelation chapter 1. Then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in the heaven, and then all the peoples of the earth will mourn, for they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and glory. Someday Jesus is going to come back out of heaven to take believers in Christ home before the tribulation. He's going to come back at the end of the tribulation to destroy on the white horse, to destroy people who have had again and again chances and chances and chances to know Christ, but have totally rejected it, have chosen to spend eternity separated from God. And He's going to come back from heaven in power. He's got so much power. He'll come back from heaven. He will rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years. He's got that kind of power and great glory. 2 Corinthians 12:9-10. But He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, this is amazing what Paul said. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses. Isn't that weird? I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. That is such an anti-people statement. He believes in the power of God so much that He delights in His weakness. For when I am weak, then I am strong. For when I am weak, then I'm strong. If you don't have problems in your life, you never get to experience God rescuing you from those things. You never experience, if you don't have struggles, you don't go back. You know, our struggles drive us to God when we have faith in Christ. It tests our faith. Is your faith real? Or are you just going to walk away from it? Or does it drive you to God in dependency on God? And Paul says, you know what? In my weaknesses, in my persecutions, in my health, in all these things, in a way I'm glad that I'm weak. Because people can watch me and the power of God will show through me. When I am weak, then I'm strong. And he says, my grace is sufficient for you. God says, my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I'll boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses. Who wants to do that? That's like dumb. But it is hugely intelligent for a believer in Christ to say, God, please don't get rid of all my weaknesses. Whatever you determine to bring into my life, I want your power to show through me. I want your glory to show through me. And Paul says, man, I delight in my weaknesses, for when I'm weak, then I'm strong. So compared to God and God at work in him, even the Apostle Paul was weak compared to the power of God. It's just that his divine power, and there's just a couple examples of his power. His divine power. In a believer in Christ, you are marked in him with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. You were given the Holy Spirit as a deposit inheriting, as guaranteeing your inheritance. You are given the Holy Spirit. If you're a believer in Christ, you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. Now, his divine power, it says, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. His divine power. If you're a believer in Christ, that's why you have God himself living in your life. Now, it's not like a ghost, although they used to call him the Holy Ghost. That just sounds like, you know, Casper with a halo, okay? It's not that. You have the Spirit of God, one of the parts of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all one person. You have God's Spirit living inside of you. We'll get to this a little bit later on. If God's Spirit lives inside of you, God and Jesus are part of your life. And the Bible says that his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. And I want to make this as simple as I can because we're going to be looking at these couple things next week. Has given us everything we need for a godly life. If you want to live a godly life as a believer in Christ and you have Christ in your life, you have all the power of God inside your life. A godly life to reverently and loyally, reverently is a deep respect, to loyally, in a way that shows or confirms your constant support and obediently towards God. Everything you need for a godly life is already inside of you. Everything you need to obey the Word of God, to obey the Word of God in finances is already there. To obey the Word of God in respect for your parents and obedience to your parents is already there. To obey the Word of God in adultery or fornication, when God says, no, not for a believer in Christ. Everything, you are called to obey that. And I can't do it and I can't do this and I can't submit or I can't, whatever it is. God says, all the power of the Holy Spirit, God's divine power, is living inside of you. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. So listen to the implications of this. As a believer in Jesus Christ, everything you need for a godly life is already in you. Then when we ask God, God, please give me the strength to make it through this trouble. Isn't that a little bit redundant? It's already there. It's already been given to you. This is so cool. Everything you need for life and godliness through the power of God himself, his divine power, is already in you. So it's like a lot of our prayers are sometimes like when we pray, we ask God for stuff that we already have. And I think sometimes God... it's blurry. Did I leave my glasses later? They're probably in my bag there. I need my, can you hand my glasses up here? Everything for we need for life and godliness is already in us. Ah. I already had everything I need to see clearly, don't I? What's the point of asking? It's a little goofy. Everybody recognizes you already have it. Well, as a believer in Christ, you already have everything you need for life and godliness. You don't even need to hear me say it. I encourage you and I push, but I'm not going to put more life and godliness in you. And if you say, God, can I have more of your power? There's songs that write about more of you in my life. God's saying, I already put all of me in there. I got other important things. I got a hurricane going on. I'm sorry, I'm not making fun of it. And it's this is really was good for me to hear this. Everything I need for life and godliness is already inside of me. So to ask God for more of Himself, to ask God for more of the Holy Spirit, to ask God for more strength, more faith, God says, I already gave you everything you need for life and godliness through my Spirit that lives in you. See, where I'm going with this is, He already did His part. We just need to say, God, I believe that you put this in me, and I will live this way. And we'll talk about that, because the next verses we're talking about next week is make every effort to add to and add to and add to and add to. But Paul starts this out by saying, everything, it's so cool. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. You know what? When you believe in Christ, you are eternally secure because God lives inside of your life. Everything you need for life and godliness is already there. That can't be separated from God. Everything you need is already there. Everything you need to live for God eternally is already there. We don't always live for Him fully and completely, and that's why He gives us grace. He makes us perfect, and He says, but I'm going to give you a lot of grace because you're going to have trouble on the way, but everything you need is already there. So sometimes I think it's like we ask God for things that He already gave us as if He forgot to give us a part of the Spirit. He forgot to give us something. Everything we need, His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. Now, that doesn't mean it's easy and it just takes root, okay? It's got to be cultivated and worked at, and we are called to do our part. But the point I want you to understand as a believer in Christ, if you're a believer in Christ, then everything you need for life and godliness is already in your life. Everything you need. Now God says, continue to go to church, continue to study the Word, and we're going to get into knowledge in a minute. I just think that's cool. So to continue to ask God. So before we ask God for things, we should make sure we don't already have them. Because then we wonder, where was God and why doesn't... Well, God says, I already gave you enough. I already gave you everything you need for a godly life. You just need to realize it. And you just need to reach into your pocket and pull out the resources. See, that's why, and I think you might have quoted it, God doesn't call us to do something we're not already equipped for. We're already equipped to handle cancer. We're already equipped to handle accidents. We're already equipped to do these things. We just sometimes take our eyes off of God, and we want God to supernaturally give us the strength, and His divine power has already given us everything we need for life and godliness. But now it's our part to have faith and to trust. And when we do, and that's what Paul's saying, or Peter said in that verse in 2 Corinthians, he says, I have peace through these things because I know God's already given me the strength, and all things work together for my good, for the good of those who are called according to His purpose, even though it doesn't feel good to me. I trust God. That's why I can delight in my weaknesses. Because I know God is in control. Oh, that is so easy to say from up here. I can say that. When things are going good, everybody can say that. And we can sing the song, Great is Thy Faithfulness, when it's easy to be faithful. But sometimes it is hard to be faithful. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him. through our knowledge of Him. Now, this is getting interesting. Everything we need is there. Everything we need. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him. We already have the resources. We're already equipped. Now, God says, it's through the knowledge of Him. And there's where a lot of Christ followers, we kind of slack off a little bit. Because we don't really know God. Now, if I'd ask you as a church, how many of you guys know God? Most of you guys would raise your hand. But that's not what this is talking about. This isn't talking about that knowing God. Just, yeah, we know Him. Okay? Knowledge of Him, knowledge of Christ. This isn't a superficial knowledge. It's not a superficial knowledge. It's not just an awareness of the fact. Yeah, I can tell you this story and this story and this story. And who was Nehemiah? Oh, he's the guy that built the wall. Who was, you know, Josiah? He was some young king, all right? And we can know these facts. And you can be on a quiz team and know all the facts and still be a not godly person. And you can go to church all your life and listen to all the sermons. You can even re-listen to me online if you want. Wouldn't that be exciting? But still you stay young in your faith or inexperienced or continuing to sin and struggle with sins and all these things. The knowledge that God talks about, the things we need for this godly life through our knowledge of Him, is not a superficial awareness of the facts, but a genuine personal sharing of life with Jesus Christ. And that's only made possible by your repentance and accepting God's forgiveness for your sins. You can't know God. You can know the name of God. You can know some of the stories. But until you meet God personally by saying, God, let me exchange my sin for your righteousness, only then do you have the ability through God's divine power in you to know God Himself. And to know His personality and to know what He's like. Not just, oh yeah, He was God. He was born in like 0 or 33 AD or whenever He was born, sometime in between there, all right? No, not that. We're talking about a knowledge of God. You know what? An example of that is, I first met Vicky when she was like 12 years old, all right? We had a summer camp and she came running down the hill in flowing dress and the music was playing and I said, that's the woman I'm going to marry right there, you know. Rough, tough Vicky. I'm going to marry her, you know. No, but I did her during that week. I thought, yeah, she's a nice girl. You know, she's different than other girls and in a good way. Then, you know, she came to camp for a whole lot of years. And my dad kept saying, you ought to date her. You ought to date her. And it's like, oh, she's too young. She's too young. And I found out she was like dating already. And I'm not going to tell you what age she started at. I thought, whoa, I better get my, card in here. So I asked her out on a date, and I had a really great date, and it was really cool, and waited a couple weeks of dating, and then I asked her if I could kiss her goodnight, and she let me, and it was like, oh, I got in my car. I drove away, rolled the window down, ha ha, woo! You know, it was awesome. She was amazing. But as I got to date her, I got to know her more and more. And, you know, and we kept getting to know each other and doing things. And then when we got engaged, it was awesome. She was amazing. And I just got to know her. So I fell in love with her. Unbelievably in love with her. And then we got married in our 1-year anniversary. It was like awesome. I went way out of my comfort zone, took her to New York City, you know, to watch some music go up there. And it was really cool. Annie and stuff like that. And now we've been married for how long? Almost 40 years. Well, anyway, 36. I can't tell you how deep and intimate our love is. I just have never even dreamed that you could love someone that much. That you could know someone that good. That's the kind through the knowledge of God. That's what God's talking about. This isn't just superficial facts. This is, and listen to the way it says, His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him. So as we know Him more and more and get to know Him, we love Him more and more and understand His working and understand He can be trusted and understanding that He is always faithful even when it seems like He's not. But in the beginning, it's like, how could a God do this? How could a loving God do this? But as you know God more and more, His divine power gives you everything you need for a godly life through your knowledge of Him. That's why you need to be involved where you're taught about God. More than just the Sunday mornings. To get involved in some of the women's ministries, men's ministries, Celebrate Recovery, youth group, children's ministries. It is so important unless we're going to stay surfacey. Well, yeah, God's all right, I'm saved and that's good enough. No, through our knowledge of Him. A matter of fact, in Amos 3:2 and Genesis 4:1, a couple of the same words, the knowledge of God, the same word is used in those. And one of them in Amos 3 says, God speaking to His chosen people in Israel, "You only have I chosen of all the families on earth." Do you ever remember the last time you felt that? It was at your wedding day. And they're a part of your vows. You only have I chosen. Only you. That's an intimate knowledge. And the next one, even it's the same word used here. Adam made love to his wife Eve and she became pregnant. Now let me go into detail on that. No, I'm not. But that same word, Adam knew Eve. The same word is used from God's divine power, has given us everything we need through life and godliness for an intimate, through an intimate relationship with Jesus. Is that what you have? An intimate relationship with Jesus. Obviously not physically, but an intimate relationship with Jesus. Is that how you would classify your relationship with God? Then no wonder life's curves throw you off balance. No wonder we can't say anything to the people that say, if your God was like that, how come? It's just His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him. So doesn't that seem like we should get to know Him every day? And every week, and it should be a growing relationship, not except, okay, I know God. There's another example of it in James 2:19. It's like James says, you believe that there's one God? Great! Even the demons believe that and shudder. That's that superficial knowledge of God. Now, as far as I know, demons are not believers in Jesus Christ. Although they believe in Jesus Christ. Although they know Him. Although they've seen Him. Although they were living in heaven with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They were alive with Him. They chose to reject God. They are not believers in Jesus Christ now. They are not born into God's family. Demons have chosen against God. But even the demons believe in God. So it's not just this, oh yeah, I know there's a God and I have this superficial knowledge of God and I can name all the facts. That's not what makes someone grow in Jesus Christ. Otherwise, the demons will be way ahead of us all. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. And you struggle with a godly life sometimes. How do I become more and more like Christ? It becomes through our knowledge of Him. And that's what the Bible's talking about. That's why these Bible studies are hugely important. That's why youth group is hugely important. For a godly life through the knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Isn't this interesting? Now it talks about the fact that God's divine power lives in me. It's given me everything I need through my knowledge of, through my getting to know Him. And then what's it talking about now? Who called us by His own glory and grace? We didn't just say one day, oh, I can't get life together. Maybe God can help me. God, will you please help me? No. God called you. God sought you. And He bought you. And He redeemed you. He went after you because He loves you. He didn't just say, oh, you're a sinner. And oh, I've seen the things you did. But He sought you. Through our knowledge of God. And then it starts to talk about God, of Him who called us. By His own glory and goodness. We didn't deserve calling. Of 2 Timothy 1:9, the beginning of it. He saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of His own purpose and grace. And Romans 3:10 to 12. It is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Is that something someone you'd want to die for? Does that sound like someone that you would love to go after? That you would pursue because you love them? God pursued you. And even before you loved Him, He died for you. And He called you. And He offered you personally. Here is forgiveness. Why would he do that to me? Why would he do it to you? It's because of his own glory and grace. Romans 8, 28 to 30. And we know that in all these things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. That's why he gave us his divine power, so that we could have the ability to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters, that's us believers, and those he predestined, he called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, that's us, he also glorified. God went out of his way to give us the ability to make it through this life and trusting him in the process. He wanted us to come to him. He wanted to give us his divine power because he saw that we were lost. Then we get that his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature. We don't only just get this and get salvation. We get to participate in the divine nature of God. To participate in the... Listen to this. This is so cool. And this is what I'm saying to say. If you're a believer in Christ, this should be a hugely encouraging message. It's not a scolding message. I've done them before when I shake my pencil at you. All right. This is so cool. Everything we need for life and godliness is already there. As we get to know him, it'll show up more and more and more in our life. And as it shows up, we get to participate. This is one thing his divine nature gave us. Abundant life. John 10, I've come to give you life abundantly. It can be yours. Well, I don't have that. Through your knowledge of him who called you. And that's what we're trying to be more. We'll talk about that a lot next week. But also, we're born again into God's family. We're born from the sinful life. We're reborn to be a child of God. An eternal being in heaven with God forever. That's abundant life. That's the end of abundant life. That is also, that's called being born again, born from above. We're child of God. We're in Christ, John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. You will have everlasting life as compared to everlasting death. Everlasting life. If you're a believer in Christ, his divine nature is in you, you have that. John 14, 20. We get to participate in being the home of the Trinity. You get to participate in being the home of the Trinity. John 14, 20. Simple verse. Jesus says, on that day, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. And in case we don't understand that, 1 Corinthians 16, 9 to 20, do you not know your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own, you are bought with a price, therefore honor God with your body. You are the home, as a believer in Jesus Christ, the home of the Trinity. God himself lives in you. That's why you're eternally sealed for the day of repentance, because God's power will renew you as you get to know him. You can stifle that power. And you can hold it down. And you can be content with just being saved or whatever stage you want along there. I guess that's possible for a genuine believer in Christ. I'm not really sure. But don't you know your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit? See, this should make wee teeny little smiles on your face. Unless you people already think, oh, I already knew that. Okay. That's like huge. So smile and humor me. That's huge. We're temples of the Holy Spirit. We get to participate. Okay, another thing we get to participate in is someday we're going to have a glorified body like Jesus. Someday you're going to have a glorified body. That never made much sense to me because when I was younger, I was pretty healthy. Now my stupid knee hurts. My thumbs hurt. My muscles get sore really quick. I should just whine about it. Because among everybody here, I suffer so much. You're going to receive a glorified body someday. And it's not going to be a whole lot longer. It seems like we're going to be alive forever, but talk to anybody that's old and aging and decrepit or have diseases and they're looking for a glorified body. Philippians 3, 20-21, but our citizenship is in heaven and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables us to bring everything under His control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body. We will have a body just like Jesus Christ someday. And it won't be long. For some of you guys, especially that back row back there of all them guys, it's coming soon, guys, all right? Yeah. Sorry, Chris. We're going to have a glorified body someday. We're going to be just like Jesus Christ someday. That should make you feel a little bit better about the future for most of us. And some of you young guys, you'll get to the point where you are going to wish for that. Okay? And then it says, it keeps going. The last one is, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in this world caused by evil desires. Corruption is the idea of something decomposing, decaying, and escape that is a successful flight from danger. At the time of salvation, having believed, you were marked with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. Acts 16:31, they replied, believe in the Lord and you will be saved. You'll be saved from what? You'll be saved from eternal death. You will be given the divine power of God. You will not perish. Romans 10:9, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. At the time of salvation, having believed, the believer escapes from the power of sin in this world that has overtaken him from his fallen nature. We all have a fallen nature, and we were on our way, separated from God. Having believed, it eliminated that. It took away, gave us a new nature. We will still struggle with the after effects of that, the aftershocks of having an old nature. But it'll be taken away. And we'll be considered perfect before God, standing for God perfect. Listen, I want to tell you something. Well, I just did tell you some things, all right? So I won't tell you anything else. I'm just going to wrap it up. We have a lot to look forward to someday. But I want you to know that if you are a believer in Christ, like we explained in the beginning, I hope I didn't make that too complicated, because it's a very simple thing. I was a sinner. I trust God to save me, and He did. Now, His divine nature, His Holy Spirit, has given us everything we need for life and godliness, and we went through all those things we have already there through our knowledge of Christ. And if you struggle with some of these things, if you struggle with doubt and you're not sure about your faith and stuff, maybe you need to listen to me more. Maybe you need to know God better. Study His words. Read His words. Don't count on me. Don't put the pressure on me to teach you all the knowledge of God. I can't. I'm not even smart. Smarter than dirt. No one's here's named Dirt, are they? Everything you need for life and godliness. Everything you need to live free. Everything you need to have the fruits of the Spirit in your life. In the midst of the struggles. In the midst of your hard job. Everything you need for life and godliness, God has already given you through your knowledge of Him. Don't just have a don't be content with a superficial knowledge of Christ. I'm not saying quit your jobs, be a missionary. You don't need to do that. Some missionaries don't have even that, all right? I'm just saying, you know God. Get to know Him. So that when we sing, "Great is Thy faithfulness," you believe it. "Great is Thy faithfulness," I believe it. And you trust God through all those situations. Are they going to be fun situations? Probably not. Are they going to be tests on you? Maybe. But get to know God. Let's stop asking him for stuff he already gave us, all right? You ever look for your glasses for around the house forever and they're on top of your head? I was going to put them up there, but they fall real easy because they're like already been on top of my head. And Vicky always says, get them off your head, it'll scratch them. She doesn't say it exactly like that. But let's really, when we're watching our prayers, let's watch our prayers, and a lot of you guys have applied all their stuff. Let's watch our prayers that we don't ask God for things that we already have. Maybe we need to look at what we already have, study it, and understand what it is that we do possess as believers and become knowledgeable believers in Jesus Christ. And then trust that and trust him. So you won't be like that wave of the sea. The sea surges tossed to and fro by the winds. Get to know him. And don't expect me to teach you everything that you need to know. God, thank you that you've given us all this stuff. It was fun studying this. It was fun looking at some of these things. And this is just like the tip of the iceberg of the things that we have, because God is alive and living inside of me. Wow. Everything that you are is alive and living inside of the believers that are sitting here in this building. What more can we ask you for? We have everything we need for life and godliness. I think we're not always that godly because of us, not because of you. Help us to live up to what we already have, to our potential in you. You're an amazing God. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.